When you woke up this morning, did the Lord make you glad? Was you filled with joy? Joy. What is joy? As you think of joy, can anyone tell me what are your thoughts on joy? Is joy being happy for a season? Joy's definition is a feeling of great pleasure, of happiness. It says great pleasure. Joy isn't just a passing feeling. It's the response to God's presence, His promises, and His goodness. Christian joy is a good feeling in the soul produced by the Holy Spirit. So I greet you all in the name of Jesus. Good morning, everyone. We're going to be looking at joy, enduring joy. Isaiah 51, 12 and 13 says, "Who art thou, that thou shouldest be afraid of man that shall die, and of the son of man which shall be made as grass, and forgettest the Lord thy maker, that has stretched forth the heavens and then laid the foundations of the earth?" If we keep that in mind, we will never lose our joy. Because He is the one that created us. In Genesis 1:27, it says, God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created man. So He created them male and female. So we see that God created us. We're not here for ourselves. I have these two plants up here. They're supposed to be grapevines. But the one is overflowing with fruits, and this one here looks dead. What we're going to be looking at is the vine. Jesus is the vine. We're going to be looking at John 15 just a little bit. But Jesus is the vine. The vine is always there. The vine is alive. This vine is alive, but there's no branches. And we're the branches. This one here is filled with joy. It's overflowing with fruit. But we're going to look at a couple. Well, yeah, I guess a testimony on joy. Yesterday morning, which you guys all know, we did not make it up to the house right in the morning because we had a little dilemma. We had a plugged pipe in the basement, and as I was I prepared for this in the morning, and it was easy to, our minds were going to go to get frustrated and all that, but I kept thinking, well, I'm sharing on enduring joy. So it kept, it was a great conviction. I just had to think of, praise the Lord for convictions, because it kept us joyful, and throughout it all, I had to sing every now and then. So, but my thoughts on it are, we're going to try and look at someone in the Bible that started out with joy and then ended, that his life didn't end well, and then some that kept joy. But then I'd like to look at a couple practical points on losing our joy and then maintaining our joy. So for opening verse, I would like to turn our Bibles to John 15. We're going to read 1 through 15, and then we'll come back and we'll expound on these verses in a bit. Sorry, not 1 to 15, 1 to 11 we'll read. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. Ye that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. And if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. So now we're talking about the vine and the branches. So as we go through this next, look at this next part, let's keep in mind about abiding. It says multiple times about abiding. So as you go through there, just keep in mind about abiding, and if we are not connected to Him, we will not have joy. So now we're going to turn, I'm just going to kind of grab a couple scriptures, but we're going to look at the life of Solomon in 1 Kings 3. I'm going to start there. Solomon started out with, he had joy. He asked the Lord here. He told the Lord that he's young. He don't know how to lead these people. He knew that his father David was a good king. Like he followed the Lord, and we know that it says that the Lord found favor with David. But I'm going to read 7-11 in 1 Kings 3. And now, O Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father, and I am a little child. I know not how to come out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. So here we see that Solomon didn't ask. He had the opportunity to ask whatever he wanted. He could have asked for riches. He could ask to be famous, but he didn't. He asked for wisdom. My mind went to Acts 5, where Ananias and Sapphira, you know, they went, they was a little selfish on their hoarding their money. And they was killed instantly. Peter looked at him. I think it was Peter or Paul, whichever one it was there. He looked at him and he said that you can, the one died, and then he said the other one was buried right behind it. And I just had to think, how is our life? Are we know that the Lord is not, I mean, it could happen, but the Lord is not just going to slay us for being selfish or something, but is that robbing us from our joy? Are we seeking, my mind also went to that verse in Colossians 3:1. It says, seek the things, it's not the whole verse, but if you be risen with Christ, seek the things which are above and not the things on the earth, so that we can be after the heavenly things. But yes, Solomon asked for wisdom, and it pleased the Lord. With godly wisdom, there comes godly joy. But then, moving on, in three yet, there's still, his first opportunity came along. There was a two women came. The one baby was dead, the other one was alive, and he had an opportunity to use that wisdom that the Lord gave him. And I think from there, it was the wisdom that, how he responded to that. I know we're looking at, Solomon was wise, but with wisdom you can have joy. And I believe with the way that Solomon responded through it all was joy. He was joyful. People could see that. But then in verse 4, God granted him wisdom and understanding, but I was going to read 26 and 27. You don't need to follow along to all these. I was just going to quickly read them. 26, Solomon had 40,000 stalls of horses for his chariots and 12,000 horsemen. And those officers provided victual for King Solomon and for all that came unto King Solomon's table. Every man in his month, they lacked nothing. So here we see that his servants lacked nothing. So how much more did Solomon? Solomon didn't lack anything. But yet at this point, he was still serving the Lord. In verse 29, it tells us, "And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt." So we see that Solomon, the Lord granted that wisdom to him. He granted him, the Lord was faithful. And God told him that there will be none like thee. In chapter 5, he's the next couple is just where he was preparing the temple, building the temple. But I wasn't really going to focus on that. I mean, there's a lot in here that could be shared on that. But we're going to jump in at 8, on chapter 8, 22 to 27. We see Solomon's prayer to God. "And Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregations of Israel and spread forth his hands toward heaven. And he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven above or on earth beneath, who keepest covenant and mercy with thy servants that walk before thee with all their heart. Who hast kept with thy servant David, my father, that thou promisest him, thou spakest also with thy mouth and hast fulfilled it with thine hand as it is this day. Therefore now, Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David, my father, that thou promised him, saying, There shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit on the throne of Israel, so that the children take heed to their way, that they walk before me as thou hast walked before me. And now, O God of Israel, let thy word, I pray thee, be verified, which thou spakest unto thy servant David, my father, but will God indeed dwell on the earth. Behold, the heaven and the heavens of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less is this house that I builded?" So here we see that he was committing the temple to God, but he was recognizing who God was. God was, he created the heavens and the earth. His heart was still focused on God. He still had that joy in the Lord. But then we see, which we went past that in the prior verses, but then we see that the Lord came to Solomon again in 9. In 2, it says that the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time as he had appeared unto him at Gibeon. And he appeared to him again, and he told him that don't let earthly, don't let earthly things of this life hinder your walk, hinder your joy with the Lord. The Lord told him multiple times he's going to bless him with multiple things because he has asked for wisdom, but at the same point, he still had to make a choice. He had to make a decision. Then also he had a navy. I didn't look into that a whole lot, but I believe he had a massive navy as well. He had multiple things. And then in chapter 10, I believe this was kind of the downhill of Solomon. In chapter 9, and there was people that served the Lord in here for 20 years, and it says Solomon. In 9, I'm not exactly sure where it was, but it says that he served the Lord for 20 years. Like he was faithful for 20 years. But then in chapter 9, the Queen of Sheba comes, and she has lots of questions for him. She knew that he was wise, but she didn't know if she believed everything that she heard. Well, she went and she took lots of gifts, and she gave him lots of gifts, but she asked him lots of questions, and he answered all those wisely. He answered them all correctly. But I believe that's where he started to go downhill, because if you look at verse 14, "Now the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 63 and 6 talents of gold." Yeah, that was in 1 year. If you did, that was 49,921 pounds. And that was, if you would do the value of it today, this is what Google says. So it's $3,616,810,839. Like that was many, many years ago that he had this vast dollars amount. But the Lord told him, be careful. And then also his throne was made of gold. Everything he had was made of gold. His drinking vessels was of pure gold. It'd be interesting to study this out a little bit more in depth, but like he had lions. In verse right after that, it says that he has 12 lions going up to his throne. And they was all in gold. His water vessels, all that were made of pure gold. But it says also, to think this was many years ago, everything was accounted for. There was nothing unaccounted. He knew what he had. But we'll keep going. In chapter 11, he started to love strange women. So here we see he had everything. He had a navy. He had everything that a king could ask for. He had multiple things. But he had nothing more. He lost his first love, you could say that. His joy, he didn't know where to go for his joy anymore. So he started going to strange things. He started to go where the Lord told him not to go. In verse 2 it says, "Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go in to them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart, and after their gods, Solomon clave unto these in love." Stop and think. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. You'd be very distracted if you would have that. It says in verse 4 that his wives, Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord, his God, as was the heart of David, his father. So we see right here that David, he lost his joy in the Lord. He was no longer serving God because he was focused on this earthly life. And I just had to think, sometimes maybe we get, and we'll look at this a little bit farther, but sometimes our joy, he was not abiding in the vine. The vine was still there. God was still there waiting for him to turn his heart. He was not producing fruit anymore like this tree right here. In verse 9, it says that God was angry. "And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice." And we remember that God appeared to him twice, and then he finally just turned away with the pleasures of this life. But God warned him. And how often does God warn us? Maybe we're going through life and things are just a little bit, we're not sure which way to turn, but we turn to this earthly life. But God told him also in verse 13, he told David that he will not take the kingdom from him. He left one for it. He took everything that Solomon had, he took from him. Solomon's life, when he started out, he had zeal. He had zeal for the Lord. The Lord asks, "What I can get you," and he asked for wisdom. I'm kind of concluding Solomon's life there. The Lord told him, "Don't go after the earth. It's going to turn your heart away." He lost his joy in the Lord because he focused on becoming great. He was somebody. He had nothing more to look forward. He had everything in life that it could offer, and he could find nothing to fulfill that emptiness that he felt. Instead of getting connected to the source for joy, Solomon had a fulfilling, luxurious life, but in the end, he lost it all. So we see that Solomon's life helps us to remember that not to be like Solomon. At the beginning of his life, yes, Solomon was a godly man. But now we're going to look at one that kept joy. I think of Daniel. I wasn't sure where to go. There's many accounts in the Bible that we could have went to, and I wasn't exactly sure where to go. But I thought of Daniel, and I know we talked about this a little bit the other night. But Daniel had nothing. Daniel had nothing when they captured him. He was taken to Babylon, and he didn't have anything, but he had the Lord. He had the joy of the Lord. And I believe the king recognized that he had something different. He told them to drink the food and the wine that he offered. And they said no. They knew that the Lord was going to provide for them. And I had to think too, you can't read anywhere that Daniel got frustrated that I am aware of. I might be wrong. But when Daniel prayed, he had, I believe, like I said before, about conviction. As Daniel prayed, he was committed to God. He was committed to God to stay focused to that vine. And it brought conviction to the people that was around him. There was a reason that they wanted him to be, that's why they made that decree. Because it did something. They knew that he was at peace. He had the joy of the Lord. He didn't hide himself when he went behind, when it was time to go behind the window, or to go behind the window to pray. He did it right there in the open, like he did for many years. He knew that the Lord was going to be faithful. Do we bring conviction to people around us? Do the people around us feel the joy of the Lord? And I had said already, there are many others that we could have looked at, but I thought of Job's life too. Well, I was going to read in Daniel about having that people knew that he was faithful to God. In Daniel 6:10 says, now when Daniel knew the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. And then jumping down to 16, then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. They knew that Daniel was faithful in serving God. They knew that he had the joy of the Lord. But I thought of Job. Go to Job 42, maybe. But Job faced many trials. He was faithful through many trials. He trusted the Lord. The reason I picked these two was they was faithful. They had people around them. Job's friends came to him, and they knew that there was something different. And I didn't mark it, but Job said he recognized that God created the heavens and the earth. You cannot serve God faithfully without joy in your heart. So that was just a little bit of those. I was going to read in Ecclesiastes 2, 4 to 11, but we might not have time for that. So but that sums up Solomon's life. It says everything. I made great works. I builded houses. I planted vineyards. I got me servants and maidens. So I was great and increased more than all were before me in Jerusalem. But the one verse that I was going to read was, then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I labored to do, and behold, I was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. So here we see that there was no profit in having all those things, because in the end, Solomon lost it all. But going to John 15, it says abide 9 times in those 11 verses. Can anyone tell me why he would say abide so many times? Yeah. I had to think of stay connected. Solomon lost his connection with the vine. His branches were cut off. Don't let your heart get taken away by earthly things. The strong says stay in. And I thought we could replace all those words, abide, that it says so many times, and you could put stay or stay in. Most of the time it says abide in. But you could put stay, and that means to stay. Here we see the importance that we need to stay connected to the vine. If we are not connected to the vine, how are we going to bear? How are we going to have joy flowing from our lives? He clearly tells us that the only way that we can bear fruit is if we are completely connected to the vine. We can't just be partial. We can't be just bear a little bit of fruit here and there. If we bear much fruit in heaven, it tells us that God will be glorified. And I just a couple more questions. Is there joy coming from my life? Can people see this flush grape when they meet me through the day? Is it this or is it this? Because the vine is there. This vine is alive. It looks dead, but this vine is alive. It's the branches that are coming off of it. Am I fully abiding in the vine? If my life feels empty and I keep searching for that joy and I cannot seem to find it, maybe we need to see if we're still connected. Maybe something cut us off. What could have been? I had to think of unforgiveness, bitterness, and the list could go on. You can fill in the blanks. Maybe someone said a hurtful thing and we took offenses to it and we're hanging on to that. If we think Solomon, he found fulfillment in this life. That disconnected him from God. God did not disconnect him from Solomon, but Solomon disconnected himself from God. I had to think, maybe we're looking for fulfillment, this practical things. Maybe we're looking for fulfillment in this life. We're looking for that joy. Maybe it's a new vehicle or a house. Or you start strolling on your phone and seeing what can I get? What do I need? And really, we really don't need anything. I would be filled with so much joy. I will never complain again. Then you get tired of that and you start again. Oh, I need to buy that land. I'm pointing at my own life. But if we are after the things of this earth, we will never attain that joy in Jesus. The only true joy is the joy in Jesus. How we attain that is by being completely connected to the vine. We cannot be partially connected to that vine, but fully. By allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our lives is the only way we can and will have that joy in Jesus. I had to think of Fanny Crosby. I was reading Maddie a story last night, and Fanny Crosby it was about Fanny Crosby, and people looked at her and they said, "Oh, what a pity that you're blind." She said, "No, it's not a pity. It's the first thing that my eyes will see will be the face of Jesus in heaven." She was filled with joy. And I think we sang one of her songs this morning. Practical ways I thought of was just getting up in the morning, spending time in prayer. This is an area that I fell in. But I don't believe it's getting up and just saying a prayer, doing your devotions, going about your day. But bring our cares and our troubles to Him. Spending time with Him, being silent, and allowing Him to speak with us. And allowing Him to speak as we read His Word. If we do that, we will be completely connected to the vine, and we will have that joy in Jesus. My mind went to the other night, we were talking about boldness. If we are truly abiding, staying in Jesus, we will have that boldness to speak the truth of Jesus Christ on this earth. Are we on this earth to have the things of which Solomon had? Are we on this earth to attain more than food and clothing? My thoughts often go to those verses, where you have food and raiment, therewith be content. So often we say, if we get this, we will have joy and we will be happy. But I think so often those verses that say, therewith, if you have food and raiment, therewith be content. And I think so often we're looking beyond. We justify work, and I'm talking about myself. So often we can just, this will bring me joy. If I do this, then I can do this. But that's all I have. I was going to leave you guys with Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. God bless.